AJ, can you evaluate just where you guys are as an organization?
I think that's really been a lot of the behind the scenes work over the last year, and feel pretty confident that we're in a good spot here going forward. So.
You recording?
Yes.
Cock-a-doodle-doo! Welcome. Good morning, and welcome to the 26th episode of Pods Pod. It's just me and Manny Dinks holding down the fort today. How you doing, Manny?
I'm good. Did you just wake up? It's nighttime.
I don't know why I did that. I was thinking of saying howdy doody doo, but instead I said cock-a-doodle-doo. And that's just the way it is, man.
All right,
it's cool. Yeah, it is. It is nighttime, but we night owls. We gonna work it on this very special episode of Podspod. We're gonna briefly discuss the James Shield trade, how we feel about it, what it means for the franchise. But the main topic of conversation today is with the Padres now in full tank mode. What does it mean to be a Padres fan? With a team that has decided that they are going to lose this season, that they are okay with that. So that'll be our main topic of conversation. But first of all, Manny, we dealt James Shields to the White Sox for a 17-year-old lanky little dude named Fernando Tatis Jr. and a 4A pitcher, Eric Johnson, who's kind of bounced between AAA and the majors. Why didn't it work out with James? What was the problem? Why is he gone?
Because he sucks.
Yeah.
He's old. I think really it's more... I don't think he was a good fit for... he's a competitor. He's a winner. And by that, I don't mean like he's like a great... You know, he's past his peak. But he's a competitor and we're not. And I think he's the type of guy that plays better when it counts, when it matters. Like, you know, he's big game James. I think he increasingly was just getting over it. Like, even when he came into the season, didn't he seem kind of like he kind of gained a good amount of weight, or is that just me?
Hard to tell with the beard. You know, beards like he has kind of makes you seem a bit fuller than you may or may not be. I didn't necessarily notice that, but just speaking about him playing better when it matters, not to go off track too much, but he's currently throwing his first game for the White Sox. Second inning, want to guess how he's doing?
How many homers did he give up?
Two. It's in two innings he's given up six runs, two of those being from home runs.
Damn.
So
all right, so does that make you happy or sad?
It makes me neither. I was always pretty indifferent about big game James. I guess, like, kind of playing off what you said, he's not the personality type, and really he's like our biggest name free agent signing ever. And it was just kind of strange to have someone like that on the team as a Padres fan. And I never really endeared myself to him from the start. So whether he sucks or does well with the White Sox is kind of irrelevant to me. If he does opt out of his contract, I believe that is good for us because, so if he opts out with his contract with the White Sox, that basically lessens the amount that we have to pay him.
Yeah.
So I guess if he does well, he'd probably be more likely to opt out. So let's hope he does well.
Yeah, I hope he does. I know, like, we joke a lot about him, and I know definitely Yoshi, shout out to Yoshi. She's not Big Game James' biggest fan. And I think it's that, because what you're saying, like, personality-wise, he just didn't mesh. But that's that. It's, dude, when we signed him and we listened to him talk, and aside from how many times he says man, that to me was like, yes, fine, that's what we need. This is what the team needs, his type of spirit, his type of attitude, his type of winning competitive attitude. Whether, you know, and I mean, he wasn't a bad pit. Like, I mean, he was okay. He just wasn't he wasn't pitching like an ace who's getting paid, you know.
Like an ace.
Right. But at least that, like, fire that he had initially when we first signed him, that's, I was really excited for that.
Like, yeah.
That's what I think the Padres are missing.
Yeah, you could probably go back in the episode archives and find me being excited and feeling that same way. I guess it was kind of quickly after that, though, when we realized that the season wasn't going to be what we thought it was, that he, you know, that attitude kind of became like, all right, dude, like,
we're losers, like, man, stop,
like,
stop.
Right. Which is, you know, again, it's like being a Padres fan is just so, it's so strange to have someone who expects to win on the team.
He's like, so it's, dude, we're the little Giants, and he's like Spike. Remember? Yes. When, like, he was Spike coming into the team, and we thought, like, dude, this will be really cool to have this type of, you know, player. Like, that's why eventually we turned him into a bully. Like, that's how we started seeing him. But in a way, like, yeah, man, like it just does not mesh with the Padre culture. I mean, I feel sorry for him in that sense. In the same way I kind of was feeling sorry for Matt Kemp. Like, just kind of feeling like, man, he needs to be on a this is when he was playing really well. Or not really, when he had, like, a good
month.
Good March. April. Sorry. After that, it was, you know, during that time I was thinking, man, it'd be nice. It'd be good for him to be, like, on a competitive team. Like, he deserves that. Like, I'm not sure. Like, what good does it do him playing well here? But yeah, I don't know. I kind of just feel sorry for players like that, being with us. But then with Matt Kemp, I wonder. He maybe likes it. He maybe doesn't want to win.
I've read things recently that kind of suggest that he's kind of just he just wants to be left alone. Like, he is arguably should be branded the leader on the team and should be taking that role, but he just can't be bothered, whether it's because he's jaded from his time in LA, or he knows that, you know, this franchise is not going to win anything while he's still playing, or maybe while he's still alive. We shouldn't feel bad for him, of course, but I know what you're saying. With James, to kind of answer the question of why it didn't work out, he kind of, you know, he embodied, like, our hope for 2015. Like, we were in, and then when we signed James Shields, it was like, oh shit, like, this is for real. He was like the cherry on top, you know? And you know, we can talk about attitude, but at the end of the day, like, he just kind of didn't perform to that all-star level, and neither did the team. Like, I don't think we can put it not working out with James on James specifically. I think you just, you know, you probably have to put it on ownership for not constructing the team that
that needed to be constructed in order for James to play big games. But yeah, it's just kind of a bad fit, like we've been saying. Do you think, last question on the topic, do you think that what happened with Shields damages our future prospects for free agent acquisitions? Do you think, like we've heard from people in the media, that you know, if you ruin this with James, other free agents aren't going to want to come here? Do you think that's a legitimate dynamic that is going to exist now?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends on the player and I think different players have different values in what they're looking for in where they go play. And free agents will keep in mind that they're going into a place that has a reputation for having a shitty organization. But what the Padres always have is San Diego. And I think that's always going to be a huge draw for free agents. It's just a great place to get to go live. And I'm sure a lot of wives are, any players where wives are influential in their decisions, you know, I'm sure they would be more than happy to, you know, leave whatever city in Texas to get to live in San Diego. So I think that will always be something that the Padres have to their advantage when it comes to signing free agents. So and then how much money is being offered? Are we ever going to offer someone what we gave to big game James? I'm not sure.
I don't see us making a significant free agent signing for a long time. Like, I think that we're in full rebuild mode. That's what the James Shields trade signals, as if it weren't like that before. But I don't think we'll be making any significant free agent signings for a long time. And at the end of the day, I don't think that the Shields situation damages our ability to do that should we want to. What damages it is, you know, we're a small market team and we're not going to be shelling. At the end of the day, if you offer somebody enough money, they don't give a shit if the owner's an asshole.
Yeah.
But we're never going to be the team that's offering someone that amount of money for them not to care. You know, so I will say though that when you, the Fowler comments, like, certainly didn't help. Like, if we were a team that could offer a large amount of money, the fact that the owner's like mouthing off and criticizing players in public, that could possibly hurt our chances of signing a free agent. But again, it's a hypothetical that I don't think has any basis in reality.
Yeah.
All right. So James is gone. We're rebuilding. I feel depressed, like, as a Padres fan. Watching the team the last month has just been there was a point there before we went into the Dodgers and Giants series, those back to back series, where we were kind of starting to climb a little bit. We were in fourth a bit, and we had, there was some talk that, you know, we string together a couple good series and we're right back in it, and that's that burst into flames. So it got me thinking about, like, my own Padres fandom, and I find myself just not wanting to watch the team. You know, there's not a lot of, the way Will Myers is playing right now makes me want to watch the team, but there's really not much else. So it got me thinking about, like, Padres fandom in general and maybe fandom itself. And I just jotted down some questions. And the first one is, what's the minimum requirement that, in order to consider yourself a fan? Like, of course, there's no official memberships. You know, you can say you're a fan of any team, but the community of fans kind of imposes these rules on each other. And so, what do you think for the majority of people? What are the minimum requirements in order to consider yourself like a true fan? Because I don't want to watch the games anymore. So am I no longer a true fan?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that doesn't make you a fan. That question, that varies. It depends on who you ask. And if you're saying according to the majority, for the majority of fans, I mean, we are a classic. We're pretty lax as a fan base, and so definitely in San Diego, you not watching the games does not. I don't think that eliminates you from being considered a fan. I mean, of course, all this comes down to just the individual.
Sure.
But no, first of all, you are an we can say an inherited fan. I think just simply if you were born in San Diego, born and raised in San Diego, even, you can never, your fandom badge can never be stripped from you. I think that's just my personal opinion.
I agree with that. I totally agree with that. I think, that's a nice way to describe it. An inheritance fan or an inherited fan. Yeah. If you're born in San Diego and you didn't decide in kindergarten that you're going to be a Yankees fan, like a lot of people did, if you were born in San Diego and you decided at some point in your life that you're going to be a Padres fan, then yeah, like you're a Padres fan, and it's hard to, and no one can take that away from you, no matter how many games you watch. I agree with that.
I mean, we could go down the, like if you were to give points to, how many games do you attend? How many games do you watch? Or do you just follow the scores and the highlights? Do you attend like events outside of like fan rallies or whatever? Do you watch the programming? Do you analyze the analyze beyond the, so you watch the games and then you're engaged in the whole analysis of it. How many jerseys do you own? How many autographs do you have? I mean, based on all that, I guess everybody is somewhere on the spectrum, and you know, the more money and time you invest into the team, the bigger mark that you are for the team.
Right.
Which, and I don't say that in a bad way, like and that's great. So you are at the top of the fan spectrum. But yeah, I mean, dude, I don't know. I think just, in my view, if anyone just says I like the Padres, they're good in my book. No, even if they don't watch a single game all season.
Does it in a rebuilding year, when not only are we rebuilding, but you know, between Anthem Gate and the organization telling us that you know we were going to be competitive this year, even though they had to have known that we weren't, and them, they're really poor timing. You know, if they wanted to do 2015, they should have done it in 2016, because this is the All-Star year. And I don't know if that matters really, but it kind of does matter to me as a fan. Like if we would have had a Justin Upton on this team, or a, you know, if this year, you know, like they should have done it this year if they were going to do it, even if it was going to fail. So all these kind of what I feel are mistakes that the organization has made. Is boycotting to a certain degree, is not spending money on the team, even though maybe they make you happy, is not watching games. Are you doing the right thing if you boycott the Padres because they're so bad and they've mismanaged this year and this organization so poorly recently? Man. Like, would you advocate a boycott of the Padres?
That's a really tough question. I don't know. I think it really, now by advocating a boycott, like
we're not going to go to games. Everyone stop going to games. Like, we have to show the Padres that we're not happy with what they've done. Or does that just happen naturally? Maybe. I don't know. Sorry. Continue.
No. I'm trying to, yes. Well, yeah, of course. Right. It does happen organically. I mean, to a degree it does. Of course, the worse the team gets, the lower the attendance is. I guess I can't confirm this with factual, like, I don't know. Maybe that's not the case, but I would assume so. Right.
Well, so the, I'm going to jump in here because I do have a couple of things that I looked up. So, so since 2012, attendance has gone up every year, very, very slightly, especially like between 2012 and 2013, it went up by like a couple thousand. But it has increased. It hasn't gone down, from the 2011 season, 2011 to 2012, attendance went down, but since then it's gone up every year. And this, and as we both know, this team has continually been bad. If them putting a shitty product on the field isn't causing them to lose revenue, and isn't the fans aren't really sending a message to the organization that this isn't okay, then maybe it doesn't happen organically, because these people who are so bad at baseball operations have actually done a fantastic job of making Petco an attractive place to come. So is a boycott necessary, or would it be productive considering that it's not happening organically just because we suck?
Well, I think with the thing with the boycott, it's just hard to imagine, because it's similar to the whole idea of, you know, politics is a joke, and to really let them know it's a joke, you know, everybody stop engaging, stop voting. It's just kind of not realistic. And one interesting thing I'd love to know in those numbers of the attendance steadily rising is how much of that is from visiting team fans.
Right, but I don't think it takes away. I thought about that, but I don't think that necessarily takes away from maybe the reason that. So I think this year so far, we're 12th in the league in total attendance and 15th in the league in average attendance. This is so far, and we've kind of hovered between like 19th and 15th since 2012. So I don't think it necessarily, like, whether it's Padre fans that are coming or opposing team fans, I think you could argue that fans of opposing teams are coming to Petco because it's like, look at all this craft beer, look at this awesome view, look at that, look at the sand, look at the park at the park. If this were Qualcomm Stadium and they were, you know, shuffling up you know, those curly Q turnstile things, you know, to get to the,
yeah, the, you know, the circles.
Yeah, where you're looking to the side and all you see is, you know, concrete. Instead, you know, at Petco, you everywhere you look, there's beautiful lines. There's
palm trees.
There's palm trees. There's palm trees. There's things that remind you of being
exposed
in Fashion
brick.
Valley Mall. Yes, yes. So I don't think it matters that where the fans are coming from. The fact is that they're coming, and I think you could attribute that to the park itself, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And if anything, that's kind of, it's funny because that goes back to what I was saying earlier with free agents. You know, the greatest gift that the organization has has nothing to do with on the field, but it's location, it's the city, and then the fact that they've done a good job in making Petco Park a family friendly, you know, a good night out. But so as far as the fans boycotting, man, that's, you know, I mean, do you have that in you?
Well, no, I mean, I don't have it in me to lead a boycott.
A personal boycott.
I think so, because like I said, I already don't want to watch any more games because I just feel so. Like, I think if right from the beginning they would have come out and said, like, we're rebuilding this year and, you know, we're going to bring up some young guys and they're going to learn from the, you know, from the veterans, and like, we're just going to do our best. Like, but I don't know. I just getting so tired of the fucking, of the, of the message from that I hear, you know, from interviews on 1090 and stuff like that. And, you know, as much as I disagree with Fowler's comments, they were kind of a breath of fresh air, like a degree of honesty. Totally. You know, so just that whole package, like, just makes me not want to watch the games. And so, like, yeah, I'd be like, yeah, let's boycott, let's send a message, even if it's just for a week or something. But then at the same time, if in the middle of that week the Padres said, hey, we're calling up Hunter Renfro and he's going to be playing on Friday night, I would want to watch that game.
Right.
And I guess I'm more just interested in whether it's even productive to do something like that. Like, even like, for example, in the British Premier League, it's common. Like, I remember Liverpool, fans were upset with high ticket prices and with the fact that the team wasn't justifying those prices. And so the plan was, like, everyone would leave in like the 77th minute or something, or another team, I forget, boycotting ticket prices. Like, they weren't going to show up until 10 minutes into the game. I'm thinking more of like, if we did something like that, would it be productive in any way?
No, I think it would. Yes. I just think it would be really difficult to execute with our fan base.
Right.
That's not a knock on our fan base as Padres. I mean, I'm also very familiar with the Mexican soccer team fan base, and right now that you're saying that, it reminds me of, we actually on Grandstand, one of our first episodes was with a buddy from Tijuana, who his whole thing, I don't know even if he mentioned it on the episode, but I know just talking to him, he says that a part of the problem with the Mexican team is he blames it on us in the United States, the fans in the United States, who are, I mean, as you can tell, like, the green team sells out stadium after stadium wherever they play here. And he's saying that's the problem. Because he's of that opinion, you know, the federation is corrupt. They're screwing up on so many levels. That's why the team is mediocre, but yet they don't have a reason to fix it, because they make so much money in their U.S. tours, and you guys up in the United, you know, all the, you know, Mexican immigrants or second generation Mexicans, whenever they come to your town, you guys all, you know, you buy the jerseys, you buy the tickets, and you're feeding into the machine. So how can we rage against the machine if you guys keep, you know, if you guys are all buying into it? And so I thought, I get his point. I think that's really interesting. And my response to it is like, well, dude, I'm not going to not go to a Mexico game when it's in town. And right. I think with a lot of the Padre fans, Petco Park, I mean, dude, that is something to do, and it would be really hard to convince fans, because it comes down to what is it really about, you know, and this goes for Mexican fans, for fans in Liverpool, for the Padre fans, is it really about the wins, or is it just simply about having an experience to share with other people, and for a lot, I think for most people, it's the latter. I don't think it's not about the wins or losses. It's a small group. I think it's a smaller group of us. I think less people in San Diego, less Padre fans actually care about the wins. And I don't know, like, I could be wrong on that. Actually care about the team being good. And I don't even know where I stand on that. I don't know where I am on that. It's for more people. It's about, you know, like, yeah, of course the Padres suck. Like, yeah, that's who we are. Like, I just want to go to I want to go to Petco Park on a Friday night.
Right.
It's not like I'm gonna actually watch the game.
Right. No. That, I mean, that's a good point, and it's really, really well put, and it brings it. There's that. What you're saying is, like, I just want to go to Petco Park on a Friday night. But there's also, just in more of a, like, a wider, like, philosophical sense, like, why are we why are we watching? Like, is it for the wins or losses? Is it for the excellent play and seeing athleticism at its peak? or is it because I want to be a part of I want to have a sense of community, and I want to have something to root for, to live vicariously through, like, and that's why I watch, just to be a part of something. And of course it's more fun when we win, but at the end of the day, like, I just want to be a part of that in whatever way that it is, even if it's just, you know, checking the scores in the paper and watching the highlights on the MLB app. At the other end of that spectrum, what satisfies other people is watching every single game, being very critical of the franchise, analyzing everything, and there's no reason that we can't coexist. But yeah, but I think I would support, to kind of just cap this off, I think that I would, if somebody said, like, if somehow hypothetically, and I agree, because of the nature of our fan base, it would be extremely hard to do, even with, like, the Liverpool protest that I was citing earlier. Like, it was nowhere near what it was supposed to be, because you just, like, you can't organize fan bases like that. They're not as homogenous and not as all dedicated. But if in some dream world, like, someone said, hey, you know, blackout Padre game on Friday, no one's going, no one's watching on TV, we want to send a message that we want, you know, we want a better product, I think I would get behind that. But then the organization might be like, hey, we tried, like, 2015, like, what do you think we were trying to do? and so then maybe you just can't blame people for just being bad at what they do. You know.
Right. Yeah, because I do really appreciate that effort, man. That the beginning of 2015, man, was it exciting. To Padre baseball was extremely exciting.
I mean, it's why this shitty podcast exists,
right,
basically.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
And it's why it's probably going to go away.
If the Chargers do well, let's start one of those.
Yeah. All right, so that's a complicated one, but
well, hey, that's a call out to anyone listening, man. Start the movement.
Mm-hmm.
Because I sure as hell won't.
Yeah. Sorry, I was drinking some water. Yeah, you've got two people here that are probably ready to support the boycott, unless we decide we don't want to.
Unless I get invited to a game.
Yeah. Unless Hunter Renfro's starting.
Putz, 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 putz. Hey, it's me, Fernando Rodney. You know me, right? I wear my cap sideways like a silly boy, and I like to make the rooster sound. To make my friends laugh, because I like to have fun.
Hey, yeah, he does. Hey, I'm Will Myers, and I don't wear batting gloves.
That's true, he doesn't wear the gloves. But let's talk about me more. I make the fast pitch. I do the strikeout. I say the day for the San Diego team every time. And you know what comes next.
Oh, yeah. Here it comes, guys.
Yeah. I shoot the arrow through the sky, papi. I shoot it through the left field. I shoot it through the right field.
Yeah, that Fernando, that's where the Semper Energy sign is.
Yeah, I shoot that too. I don't shoot the screen because it's too big and that's too easy for me, man.
Way too easy for you, Fernando. Way too easy.
Will knows. He's my good friend. He come from the first base, and they say, hey, where the arrow go? And I say, I tell him sometimes, but sometimes I lie to him. Because guess what? I don't really shoot an arrow. It's all just pretend.
What? Yeah, right, Fernando. If it were pretend, then how come I actually see it, and I point to it right where it hits?
I don't know, man. Maybe because you're just loco. But that's okay, because after we win, we go to the place of the real arrow. The Arrow Club. Our favorite place to go to the party.
Oh my god, dude. We love the Arrow Club. It's on India Street in Mission Hills, and it's the only bar where you can play Podspot on the jukebox. Arrow Club is totally the best bar in town, Poppy.
Yeah, papi, I don't know what's the Podspot, but I like it because its name is Arrow. Just like me, because I shoot the arrow.
Yeah, you do, Fernando. I like to play darts at Arrow Club because it feels like I'm shooting an arrow just the way Fernando does in real life.
Yeah, that's true. Everybody loves me, Fernando Rodney. So go to the Aero Club. It's where I go, and it's the best place to watch the Padres game. But just remember, when I don't play, we lose. We lose like Puerto Ricans. We lose like Democrats. But when I play, we win. Like Dominican Republicans. Tú ya sabes.
Whoa, that's so true.
Aero Club, baby.
Aero Club, baby. Poppy.
Putz, 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 putz.
So, last thing I want to talk about today. When I started thinking about Padres fandom, I started thinking about identity. Like, I think, you know, you think of the Yankees and they have an identity. Like, what's the Yankees' identity for you? Is it just like, well, what is it?
Yeah, classy winners.
Yeah. Just class, yeah. You think of, you know, they all have to shave their beards and the pinstripes and the, you know, you think of teams like, you know, jumping out of baseball, like the Lakers, like they're flashy, they're Hollywood. And I don't know, can you think of any other teams that have like a strong identity, like a national identity?
Like the Packers, but I can't really put my finger. I can't think
like,
of the
like
word
blue
for
collar.
It. Yes, like, yes.
Yeah. So sometimes I think identity arises strictly like, okay, like the Yankees have an identity based on the fact, based on like longevity and winning. I mean, identity comes from winning, basically, or it comes from losing a lot.
Or it could, like the Raiders, like they're bad boys.
That's true. So, okay. I've noticed, like, on the internet that the Padres are starting, if they haven't already, you know, with 2015. Like, I think the Padres were pretty much just invisible to the nation prior to 2015 for the most part. There was a thing I saw where it had all the each MLB team's most recent Sports Illustrated cover. And the last one that we had was for the death of Ken Caminiti. And it was like 10, you know, this cover was like 10 years ago. And most other teams have had covers within, you know, the last 5 years or something. Like I'm saying, I think the Padres have been kind of just invisible in the national scene. But with what happened in 2015, we made a lot of waves going for it and we failed spectacularly. And now with the start of the season, setting the record for, you know, scoreless innings and all this stuff, I've noticed on Reddit, a community on Reddit has taken to calling us LOL Padres. Like whenever anyone says, refers to the Padres, it's always LOL Padres. Like the identity is we're a joke.
Is it that this is like a community that talks all baseball?
Yeah, it's our baseball, r/baseball. And it's a pretty vibrant community with a lot of members. You know, it's still just an internet community, but nowadays those things influence you know, conversation. And so I'm seeing us develop this identity as a joke, like as unbelievably incompetent. Whereas before, I think we were just kind of invisible. And I don't think so. As a Padre fan, like I don't want to accept that identity, even though it may be true. So what is the what have the Padres ever had an identity? And granted, we've only been around since 1969, so it's harder, I guess, to develop one when you're, you know, a relatively younger team. But have we ever had an identity? And if so, what was or is our identity?
You say we've only been around since 1969, but you know, us personally, we've only been around since the 90s, born in the 80s, but we've been fans of the team since the 90s. So I mean, maybe before, you know, there was a time where we did have an identity, but in our lifetime, no, not really. I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. The only thing that I could come up with was that, like, our identity is Tony Gwynn, I think. And that doesn't fit the classic mold of what a team's identity, you know, the Dallas Cowboys, America's team, you know, the Lakers, the flashy Hollywood boys, whatever. Like, but I think our identity has to be Tony Gwynn. I think his loyalty, if I could choose our identity, I guess it would be kind of like the loyal, scrappy losers. And the loser part doesn't fit with Tony Gwynn, but I don't know what I'm talking about here, man. But do you see what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I feel like our only identity is Tony Gwynn. Like, and whatever he meant to baseball, that's our identity. And what a gift.
No, I see. But I think it's different. Like, that's maybe, you know, Tony Gwynn is just what we have to be proud of.
Right. Yeah.
He was our ambassador. He's like our representative. Despite everything else, you know, how lucky have we been to get to have Tony? But yeah, as far as like a group identity, shit, dude, I don't think so. I mean, no, because I think you are right. I think part of it does require a degree of winning.
Yeah. And I don't think there's been, there's been so much ownership change, mm-hmm. and, you know, so much player turnover that, I don't think it's possible for us to have an identity. I think we could start something. I think the brown uniforms, again, this isn't, maybe I'm not quite hitting on what identity is, but I think, the brown uniforms are so unique that if we did go back to those on a more regular basis, that maybe that would be the beginnings of something we could call identity, or at least something we could latch onto. Of course, that, like, I don't know how brown uniforms are personified into an identifying characteristic, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm looking for something, you know?
Oh, no, totally. Totally. No, I agree 100%, man. If that in itself, like, dude, if anything, what if we just did that? What if we just, and especially this season where we can celebrate every loss, in this, you know, if we're tanking and every loss is positive in a sense in the long run, why not just, and if we brought back the brown unis, why not just kind of take on like a Bad News Bears identity, except right. And just let's see how bad we can get. And let's have our players like grow out, like everyone grow out their hair, grow out nasty like neck beards, and just be these like scraggly, just, you know, misfits.
Yeah. I could get behind that. I think that's what, we'll touch on this in another episode. My history as a Padres fan is based around loving bad players, like having Bubba Trammell be my favorite player, you know, having Ramon Vasquez be my favorite player. that's what my Padres identity is loving losers, basically. So yeah, let's embrace that. Let's wear the best uniforms in baseball and just be comically bad for as long as it takes for us to rebuild.
Until we're good.
Dude,
so if we were to do that, like what else would we have to do to really drive that home?
You got to start instituting like those crazy minor league giveaways. Like, we're like, well, more than just like dollar beer night, but what are some of the crazy minor league giveaways that you've heard? You know what I'm talking about, right? Like those ridiculously gimmicky fucking Bitmoji Day.
Dude, I do love the idea replace the craft beers with tall boys all throughout the ballpark.
And sell nothing but Mickey's. Okay, I'm looking it up right now. Craziest minor league promotions. Okay, let's see. So the Altoona Curve, AA affiliate of Pittsburgh Pirates, have hosted on several occasions an awful night, which is made to purposely give fans a terrible ballgame experience. Sporks were handed out at the gates instead of a typical calendar or t-shirt, and the PA announcer consistently reads players' names incorrectly as terrible music like reggaeton blares throughout the ballpark speakers. That's the kind of shit that we need to do.
Dude, if the Potters, I would not boycott if that's what we started doing.
That would be so awesome. Sporks at the gates.
A spork with Alexi Ramirez's face on it.
Toilet seat cushion night. Let's see. What else do we got? Mike Tyson ear night, where they gave out plastic ears. Do something where, like, you know, you choose a random fan in the stadium and they get to play third base for, like, the last out of the ninth inning. Like, just stuff like that. That's what we need to be doing.
I think that could be because the and especially if we brought back the brown, because that fits so well. Like being brown and yellow fits so well with being that team. But at the same time, they are so cool. So it's still right. so there's still a cool element to it. It's done with character. I love it, man. I think that would be, and that could potentially sell more tickets if we took that approach. We would be on ESPN.
Absolutely, because we're certainly not going to make it for the play on the field. That's it, man. Let's like just take caffeine pills and Adderall for the next couple days, put together like an insanely disjointed presentation, and just go down to headquarters at Petco and just start banging on doors until somebody listens to us.
Where's Mike D?
Hey, Mike!
Yeah, we're going to need a lot of greenies for that.
Yeah. All right. Okay, Manny, I think that's all I got for today. You got anything?
No, man. Just, if we are in tank mode, then let's just, you know, if we lose, then it's kind of a win-win. If we win, cool. If we lose, that's good too.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually feel much better. This conversation has made me want to watch a game.
Yeah. Dude, Snoop Dogg was just in the house.
Yeah. That's cool. I'm fine with that. Because a Snoop Dogg night is almost that. It is almost like, oh man, we're so fucking bad. Do you think if we called Snoop Dogg, he'd come and play? No, let's try it. Like, it just kind of sounds like one of those things to me. Like,
it's an upgrade from Lil Jon and Nelly, though.
And Nelly, yeah, I agree. No, it's cool. I'm glad that I'm sure there was a big turnout. That pushed us up to 11th in total attendance and once again gave the organization the impression that they can keep fucking up.
Yep.
All right, Manny. Good chat.
All right, man. Go out and buy those PodsPod shirts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We have a PodsPod store now. Cafe Press. Go to cafepress.com and search for PodsPod and then buy a shirt. They're at cost.
Yeah, fuck the Padres. Stop giving money to the Padres. You're contributing to the problem. Come buy a PodsPod shirt.
Yeah. And the nice polyester ones that are kind of stretchy and form-fitting, they only come in charcoal gray. Any other color you buy, it's going to be lame. Hard-spun cotton that's going to make you itch and stuff. I don't personally recommend those, although they are available.
I got the tank top. I recommend it. Really good. Kids come up to me all the time, want autographs.
Yeah, I wore mine out, and I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people that recognized, you know, the podcast and wanted to say something, but nobody did. I just want to say, like, yeah, if you guys, you know, see a PodsPod shirt around town, it's probably me because Manny and I are the only ones that have them. so don't be afraid to say hi.
No, don't. If I'm like eating lunch, please don't.
And we got some big news. A couple. Just stay tuned. Keep your keep refreshing that iTunes podcast app because we might have some interviews for you guys coming up. So buy the shirt, listen to the interviews, and go fuck yourselves.
Lil Mo and Yoshi, come back.
All right, bye-bye, Podspot.
Pods.